We'll submerge the February 26, 2010 edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, this is the Rain Report. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Few of us have written 21 books in 15 years, but then there's only one Don Keith and 4KC, who has done just that. War Beneath the Waves is his 21st. It's slated for release in April. It's the story of the miraculous survival of the crew of the World War II submarine, the USS Billfish, which came under vicious depth charge attack in 1943 off Borneo. Don talked about that desperate 15-hour siege by three Japanese destroyers in last week's Rain Report. Last week, we learned about Don the writer. This week, we'll learn more about Don the ham.
My dad was the first television repairman in rural Alabama. When he got out of the Army after the war, somebody said, this television thing's going to take off. You ought to do something in TV. Well, he reasoned, knowing what he knew about radios breaking, that TVs would break and somebody would have to fix them. So he went to trade school and became a TV repairman. He was also always interested in radio, so he had a couple of old shortwave receivers in his shop. And I would go out on a Saturday morning and listen to those shortwave receivers. 1957, we were tuning around, and I heard this odd pulse. And my dad said, that's that satellite the Russians just put up, the Sputnik. Of course, that scared me to death, and I ran outside and looked up to see if I could see the thing. But just hearing it was scary enough. And also being able to hear those distant signals on the broadcast band, WWL in New Orleans, WLW in Cincinnati, WLS in Chicago, WDAF in Dallas, Fort Worth, just the miracle of those radio signals coming into my bedroom or into my dad's shop was just an amazing thing to me. Understand, broadcast radio at night was non-existent there because the next closest town that had any signals was about 60 miles away. Those stations you could not hear at night where I grew up, so we tuned around and heard all those distant AM signals coming in on a skywave. I didn't understand how it worked, but I thought it was a miracle. Well, to this day, I still think it's a miracle if I'm on the 2-meter repeater and I can hear some guy across town. We had a local ham radio operator, W4OXU, Oscar X-ray Uniform, Walt Coleman. Walt was an interesting fella. He worked for NASA in Huntsville, Alabama, helped put the first man on the moon. But he lived 75 miles away, and he commuted every day to Huntsville and back to our little town. Had a mobile rig, and I thought that was the coolest thing with a big whip on the back. He started ham radio classes, and I'd always kind of been interested in, as I mentioned, the distant signals and the magic of it all. So I decided to go to class. The code came easy. The electronics was a little tougher for me, but I was still fascinated by it all. And before I knew it, I was a novice, class licensed, and my dad built a little 807 tube transmitter, and we had one of the shortwave receivers, and I got on the air with that. I was only a novice for about 6 months. Then I upgraded to general and never looked back. My dad, we conjured up a VFO for our old Globe Scout that we had by then. He used an external Hallicrafters VFO that we bought at some swap meet somewhere. And that was the biggest thrill in the world, to be able to move around and get on AM. And that was just when sideband was coming in. Never looked back. 47 years later, I still love the hobby. The interest in ham radio was what got me into broadcasting. I went to the University of Alabama with the intent of being a lawyer. And I walked upstairs in the student union building one day and walked down a hallway, and there was the campus radio station, and there was a guy behind the glass. Looked like he was having a great time spinning those records. I walked in, and by the time I walked out, I had a job working one of the weekend shifts at the campus station because I had a ham license. I mentioned to the general manager that I was in ham radio, and he said, well, if you know anything about that, you can talk into a microphone, you can probably do this. Little did I know, just to get anybody to work on the weekends at the campus radio station was for nothing was a tough thing, so they were just glad to get a sucker to do that. But the hook was set, and that led to 22 years behind a microphone.
Did you ever write for any of the major ham magazines?
I have not. I guess I'm not technical enough for most of those, but I do have quite a few articles that have been published on eham.net. You can just go to articles, the articles link, and do a search for my call sign, N4KC, and you can see the articles that I've had published there.
Oh.
You know, that's one of the things that just fascinated me. I don't know anything about it. Propagation. Mm-hmm. I guess it goes back to that childhood sitting there next to the old shortwave receiver. Just how radio waves are propagated is just one of those fascinating things. I guess that's my newfound interest in antennas, too. I actually built a hex beam, wire beam. It's a two-element wire beam. You bend the elements into shapes of W's, reflector and driven element, and you actually get about 5 dB gain front to back. It only weighs 20 pounds, 11-foot turning radius, so it's not very big. A couple of them commercially available now. VX Engineering does one. Mike Traffy has manufactured one for about 10 years now. I manufactured this one in the backyard, and I know the idiot that put it together, so I'm amazed it's still up there after 2 years. It does a good job.
You are listening to a conversation Alabama ham operator and maritime author Don Keith, N4KC, had with Rains Hapali, KC9RP. We'll learn how it is that Don developed such a flair for writing books about submarines in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available via terrestrial dial-up at 773-358-7845. Thanks to Uddle Systems, UDDLE.com. In fact, you can listen 24/7 to the last 9 episodes of The Rain Report at that number, which again is 773-358-7845. We'll be right back. This is Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, therainreport.com.
How did you get to be writing so many books about submarines?
I guess I could say morbid interest, but that's partially true. But the truth is, I had written novels. My first 3 books were all fiction. But my literary agent had been on submarines during the Cold War. And he called me up one day and said, you know, I've sold several books for you now, and I think I trust you to tell the story of my old submarine, USS Archerfish. And I said, Robbie, I don't write nonfiction. He said, let me tell you about this submarine. And he told me a few things. He put me in touch with a fellow that had been collecting material on the submarine ever since he had been aboard, a guy named Ken Henry. And when I started hearing those stories and being a storyteller, I had no choice. I had to write that book. And once I wrote that, all the others just came along. The Archerfish sank the biggest ship that's ever been sunk by a submarine, a Japanese aircraft carrier called the Shinano. The Shinano was coming out of Tokyo Bay on her maiden voyage, still had 300 shipyard workers aboard her. They were going to complete her as they made the run around to the inland sea. Archerfish was sitting off Tokyo Bay doing lifeguard duty for our bombers that were pummeling Japan at that time. Hams will appreciate this. They were trying to calibrate the radar by bouncing a signal off an island. The radar operator called up from the conning tower and up to the bridge and said, Captain, your island is moving. And it was the Shinano that they had accidentally bathed in their radar that night. And nobody knew she existed, even after they sank her. They got a lot of heat from Navy intelligence because nobody knew that she existed. That one sinking by that one submarine was the most productive World War II submarine patrol. I think because of the nature of the silent service, our submarines destroyed 47% of all Japanese shipping that was destroyed in World War II.
Holy mackerel.
And yet at no time was it more than 5% of the total naval force in the Pacific. At the same time, the casualty rate of submariners in World War II, and we lost 52 submarines, was 25% of the total submarine force. So a great sacrifice. We didn't lose as many U-boats as the Germans did, but we didn't have as many submarines either. The sacrifice those guys made for the war effort is just unbelievable. We lost 52 submarines in World War II. All those but one were in the Pacific. And the one that we lost was the Dorado, which was on its way to the Pacific, and friendly fire took her down just off Puerto Rico.
Are you working on a new book?
Yeah, I'm actually working on a couple. One's a novel, and I'm writing a biography of a couple of broadcast personalities here in town that have over 1 million listeners, and we're going to tell their story. And then I've got a couple of movie projects in the works.
Have any of your books been made into TV or cinematic movies?
I have a book right now that has been optioned by a major studio. They are in the process of deciding which wonderful director is going to direct the movie. The book itself has not been published, and I'm waiting until we decide what the movie deal is going to be before we pitch it to publishing houses. But several major name directors are being mentioned. It's actually a submarine thriller, something like a Tom Clancy, about a Russian admiral who decides he wants to restore the Soviet Union and put it all back together again and raise it to its previous glory, and he's going to do that through a coup, and somehow our submarines and a SEAL team get involved in this whole thing.
It seems to me it would be unusual to have a book optioned for a possible movie before it's even published.
Yeah, especially from somebody who's not a best-selling author, which we're not. As it turns out, I co-wrote a book with a former nuclear submarine skipper named George Wallace. George and I had a best-selling book called Final Bearing, and we wrote a sequel. By that point, the publisher was no longer looking for material like that. But George happened to be at a cocktail party in Hollywood, ran into a fellow who said he was a producer, and George said, oh, sure you are. And it turns out this fellow was a producer. He had done Ferris Bueller's Day Off, We Were Soldiers with Mel Gibson, quite a few other movies. And when George told him about our books, he wanted to know what the next one was going to be. And he took a look at the manuscript. He liked it. He optioned it. He took it to Relativity Media, which is one of the major studios. They optioned it themselves, and hopefully there's going to be a movie at some point. But I think it was Hemingway who said, you cash the check, you don't look back. It's certainly hurry up and wait time when it comes to Hollywood. But we'll keep our fingers crossed.
If someone would like to read more about you and the books you published, all 21 of them, where would they go?
Best place is www.donkeith.com. It's D-O-N-K-E-I-T-H. I also maintain a ham radio website, n4kc.com, and I've done quite a few articles for new hams. I love to experiment with antennas, so I've got some articles on there about some of the things that I've learned and some very practical antenna ideas and construction ideas that I hope folks enjoy.
And how about an email address?
n4kc@bellsouth.net or n4kc@arrl.net.
And that concludes Hap Holly KC9RP's conversation with Don Keith, N4KC, a Birmingham, Alabama ham who has become a most prolific writer, releasing 21 books since 1995, including his new one, War Beneath the Waves, slated for release in April. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2010. Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. This is RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.